Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we read from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Naaman, the army commander of the king of Aram, was highly esteemed and respected by his master. This is Naaman, the army commander. He was highly esteemed and respected by his master. For through him the Lord had brought victory to Aram. But valiant as he was, the man was a leper. Now the Arameans had captured in a raid on the land of Israel a little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. And this little girl says, "If only my master would present himself to the prophet in Samaria," she said to her mistress, "he would cure him of his leprosy." So here's a child, got it right, got her sights set right. Think about that. And she speaks up. She's a slave. Naaman went and told his lord just what the slave girl from the land of Israel had said. "Go," said the king of Aram, "I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman sent out, taking along 10 silver talents, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments. To the king of Israel, he brought the letter, which read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When he read the letter, the king of Israel tore his garments and exclaimed, "Am I a god with power over life and death that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? Take note, you can see he is only looking for a quarrel with me." Oh my, here he is genuinely seeking help. And the king gets all upset. He thinks that the guy is trying to attack him and is going to put him down and try to rob the whatever authority he has to take it from him. We bind ourselves into such stupid corners because we think we know the motive of other people. Find out what the motive honestly is before you accuse and judge. So, and when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent word to the king, "Why have you torn your garments? Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel." Because the king didn't have the power, and he thought because he didn't have the power that this was some kind of setup. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elisha's house, probably a poor, simple little place. And the prophet sent him the message, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will heal, and you will be clean." But Naaman went away angry. Now, first the king was angry, now Naaman's angry. He said, "I thought he would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God and would move his hand over the spot and thus cure the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Parpar better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed?" And with this, he turned about in anger and left. See how quick, in both cases, see how quick we are to judgment? Do you see that? We cause ourselves such difficulty because we are. But his servants came up and reasoned with him. Servants had more sense than the kings and those in authority at times. "My father," they said, "if the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? All the more now since he said to you, 'Wash and be clean,' should you do as he said?" So finally, Naaman puts his pride in his pocket and he listens to his servants. So Naaman went down and he plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child and he was clean. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." There's so much to be learned from that passage, but because of the shortness of this program, let's just leave it with the fact that please do not rash judge. Do not draw conclusions about other people's motives before you really know the facts, as you can miss out on a whole lot. What if the king had done what he wanted to do? What if the servant had done what he wanted to do? What would have happened? What would have happened? Oh, brothers and sisters, God is so good to us. Please open your heart to his blessings, even when they come in disguises, so to speak, in people or in other disguises that you don't expect. Listen to him. The psalm, "A thirst is my soul for the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? As the hind longs for the running water, so my soul longs for you, O my God. A thirst is my soul for God, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Send forth your light and your fidelity. They shall lead me on and bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then will I go to the altar of God, the God of my gladness and joy. Then will I give you thanks upon the harp." When God does something for you, please return and give thanks. We beg God sometimes for months, sometimes for years, and a situation is answered, and you can say to somebody, "Did you thank God?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, well, God knows." No. You go to God and thank him from the bottom of your heart. Again and again for hearing your prayer. Learn to be a grateful person. If you're not that, it's a good time during Lent to begin to learn how to do that, how to become thankful. There's always something that can give God thanks if we think, oftentimes because some plan of ours goes awry, and yet God comes around another way and works it out. But by that time, we're just too tired and we never come back and render him thanks when the prayer is answered. Maybe not the way we wanted, but the prayer is answered. Then go, even if it's years later, go and render him thanks a lot. I don't mean saying to God, "Thanks a lot." I mean, go many times and say, "Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for answering me." Brothers and sisters, God is a God of great love, and he wants to hear us, and he wants to help us. Let's take a look now at Luke chapter 4, verses 24 to 30. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land." Think of that. Think of that. No water and a severe famine. "It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And when the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away." Brothers and sisters, how the Lord works through our mixed motives. And at times he really has to call us out, that we may be doing the right things for the wrong reasons. We may be doing wrong things for the wrong reasons. We may be doing all kinds of things. But if we come to him humbly, if we turn to him, he will hear us. But it means that we have to be humble. And that's exactly when he was speaking to people, how many people got angry and infuriated with him. In fact, one group, as it tells us in this gospel, one group wanted to hurl him down headlong off the town, the brow of the hill. They wanted to throw him down. But he passed through the midst of them and he went away. He could escape, and escape he did. Brothers and sisters, please look at your motives. Please ask God to help you change them and to change your actions in accord with your motives. God judges the heart. That's where he judges. So what's really going on in you is what he judges, no matter what performance you put on outside. Please, brothers and sisters, listen to the Lord. There is a short commentary by a servant of God, Madeleine de Breel, in Magnificat magazine that I found very good, and I want to share it with you today. She writes, "Whether we are aware of it or not, we are surrounded today by agnostics and unbelievers, people who as individuals or as groups have ceased to believe what we believe, or have never believed it, or don't even know what it is. They are our neighbor. It is their very presence that gives a missionary character to our lives, making us missionaries in situations that we never chose and for which we are not prepared. Our Christian lives have become, in actual fact, what the Christian life essentially is, apostolic. We're sent out, brothers and sisters, to bring the gospel to those who don't know it, have turned away from it, or never heard of it. So far from being ready for the apostolic life, we were brought up in a situation where there seemed no scope for this kind of life. Everybody was Christian, or at least a vast majority were Christian. We lived in an environment that had Christian values. So far from being formed as apostles, we were given a formation that made us less able to meet its challenges. We don't know how to do this. And yet we're being called to be his disciples out in the marketplace." Those are my words. Madeleine de Breel writes, "But now we have to undergo a transformation because of an obligation which we are unable to refuse, since it is an integral part of the Christian calling. This transformation will not take place quickly, painlessly, or without mistakes. There will certainly be mistakes, because we are the blundering practitioners of a supernatural art, that mission for which God gave us the faith." So she points out here, well, we're weak, we're stumbling, we're not prepared for this, we're not prepared to really defend the gospel. Brothers and sisters, the first thing you want to do is you want to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to be your disciple. Will you teach me?" And then every day read the scriptures. Every day give God's time to form you. If you can, every day read a passage or a section from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It will help you to understand the teaching of the church in language that you can give to others. But most of all, this is the time to ask God for a heart that instead of turning in on itself and looking for its own satisfaction day in and day out, that we turn outward and we look for the poor, those who never heard the gospel, and we give what we can. That's what God asks of us. May it be so with you. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.